for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning. I'm serious.
Thank you. motivated, say it, I'm on a whole new retreat. My space invaded, upgraded, I hear you talking to me. It's in the boom of the thunder, it's in the cool of the rain. And I'll say, I don't ever wanna get away. Tonight is beautiful, it's got my mind on you. And everywhere I turn is a reminder.
God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for how you manifest in yourself. I thank you how you're making yourself real to so many people right now. God, I just ask you to help me. Help me do this job. And I thank you for the proof and the signs and the wonders that you're doing in the lives of your people. Alexandria, Wendy, Priscilla, Annie, I got your text messages. I wish you would type those visions up. And those signs and miracles and wonders, and email them to me. Don't text them. Email them to me. And one day next week, see, I'm gonna have you all come on and share what's happening in your life and what God is showing you, and how He's opening up your gifts. I thank God for you, and I thank God for you sharing with me. Brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people on this tail line Jesus believers, why? They don't like chat rooms, and they don't like, some of them have jobs and things, you know, but yet and still, I stay in contact with them, and they're sharing with me what's happening. One person contacted me and told me, I know they're listening. They're all listening. They listen every day. And told me that God showed them witches in their church. And they said they liked their church and that they believed that the witches were attacking their pastor. And they said they went to somebody and they told them what was happening. And the people told them, well, just pray about it. And so they contacted me and they said, what do I do? I said, this is what you do. I said, you ask God to expose it. That's what you do. And I'm going to be in agreement with you that he's going to expose it. So in about 2 weeks, they said, they wrote me back in about 2 weeks and they said, God is exposing it because they're having a hard time doing that witchcraft stuff. I said, just keep on praying. I'm going to be in agreement with you. And so then in about another 2 weeks, she said, they're having a hard time. They're getting up trying to lay hands on people and it's not working. I said, just keep on praying. So I got a text yesterday. They left. Can one person make a difference? Yeah. See, even although the people that came into agreement with her was not where she is spiritually from having been on this deadline, but she had enough knowledge in her and enough love of God to the point that God could work through her. She's still there. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the witches tried to drive her out to church. And she told me, she said, Dr. Erica, I'm not leaving my church. And I'm not going to allow them to take over my pastor and all the people here. They left. I told you. The Bible say one can put 1,000 to flight. But if you're scared, if you won't stand up, and be a witness for God in his strength, in his power, then you are defeated and you probably deserve whatever you get for not doing nothing and seeing it and recognizing it and just yielding to the occultic witchcraft powers. You see, you need to check your word. God never said witches and people that work on the dark side don't have power. He never said that. I say he never said they didn't have power. But he said, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you unless you let it. Now, he didn't put the unless you let it there. I did. But this believer believed the word of God, and this believer believed me when I told her, in the name of Jesus, you can run them out. You got more power than they do. Right? So she put it to work. I don't understand that. I really don't understand. I really don't understand you selling out. It's not biblical. It is not biblical. Brothers and sisters, God has already told you to stand. And he told you to stand and still stand. And he told you to keep on standing. Why do you think he would tell you that and put you in front of an enemy that's going to keep knocking you down? Well, it's okay that they hit you. So the enemy exposed itself and hit you. But it ain't okay for you to allow him or it to keep on hitting you like that. If you do, you don't have nobody to blame but yourself. So I want her to come on and tell you how she did it. Just believe in on the word of God. And then God sent a couple more intercessors to pray with her. Because she was bold enough to go and tell them, we got witches in our church. And they said, okay. And then she said, well, let's do something about it. And they said, okay. And she believed the word of God. She believed what she had learned on this line here. And when I prayed with her, I ain't pray nothing but the thing I pray all the time. Lord God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, ain't no failure in heaven. I know that. So when I say that, I'm already standing on that. So one more for Jesus. He won. One person in Christ prevailed and took a whole church back. I'm looking at another situation in Texas. In Texas, a preacher had to stand up and tell his whole congregation they were bound by witchcraft and it's got to get out of his church. His. His church. H-I-S. God's church. And man, the witches came after him so bad. He told them the witchcraft had to go on Sunday. And by Wednesday, he was in the hospital with a heart attack. His wife called me up. She said, what happened? I said, look, God gonna raise your husband up. I said, this is a witchcraft heart attack. I said, this is when the witches came together, summons up a spirit that went out there to the graveyard, found somebody who had just died violently. Summons that soul up and use your husband's heart like a battering ram. I said, put the phone next to his ear. She put the phone next to his ear. I bound up that witchcraft, cast them demons out of him. And she said that because she had the phone next to his ear, the heart monitor things start going crazy. So they thought she was in there causing him problems. They came in, they was going to put her out. And he sat up and said, leave my wife alone. She told me a couple of nurses dropped the IV thing they was working on. And after he said, leave my wife alone, he said to her, can you go out and get me some Kentucky Fried Chicken? And she said she was scared to leave him. So what she did, she called Uber Eats or something like that and got him some chicken. And they was looking at her like she was crazy. And then, you know what happened after that? They tried to eat the man chicken because they said he couldn't eat it. He ate his chicken himself. And I think he's going home today. I'm going to bring him on here too. I never thought I would live to see the day. I guess I should have. But these are people that didn't know nothing about the occult and preachers. They knew what they read in the Bible. But they didn't know it's gone way beyond what's in the Bible. Witchcraft is an everyday practice in the lives of many, many, many people. And guess what? You live next door to them. Your kids sit in the classroom under them being taught. Might be your boss. Might be your supervisor. It's certainly some of your politicians. And it's many, 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 many of your preachers. You see, when signs and miracles and wonders did not manifest, one of them told me my daddy was a bishop. And when the miracles, signs, and wonders didn't manifest, according to God, I took over from my father, so I went on the dark side because I could manifest power from the dark side. I said, have you ever given thought to the fact you're going to burn in hell? Have you ever given thought to the fact of all the people, second generation, third generation, in the church that God built, that your grandfather preached in and your daddy and you defiled it with witchcraft? I said, did you ever give any thought to that? He said, no. I said, well, God did. I said, God did. I said, it might not be you, but I said, God gonna raise up one of your children. I said, God's gonna get a church. Remember, he said that. He's gonna get a church out of a church. I said, it might be one of your children. I said, and if you don't repent and make this thing right, I said, God is calling people's numbers left and right nowadays. He did. He's trying to. I don't know how deeply entrenched he is in it, but he's trying to get out of it. I don't know. And let me tell you something. Do you think I think all these people are contacting me now because they've had a change of heart? They scared. They haven't had a change of heart. It didn't work. It didn't work. And they scared. A lot of scared people contacted me. Time to change. It's time to know if you got gifts and giftings that they need to be clean. God still ain't gonna use no defile nothing from the devil's side. No, it's not gonna happen. We're supposed to be one spirit with God, remember? And because we one spirit with him, he reveals what spiritual things to us. And then, through God revealing those spiritual things, we begin to grow, like I said last night, into the knowledge and revelation of him. It's about God's Holy Spirit being the sanctifying agent for God. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And God is starting to prove that thing. He's starting to prove it. But you see, those that tapped into the dark side, the occult side, they knew there was power all the time. Those that came here and introduced yoga and Eastern mysticism, all that stuff, all lies. All lies. It really is going to take the real thing to bring people out of this darkness. It really is. It really is going to take somebody who's willing to stand up and tell you the truth as they know it now. It really is. And then it's going to take you to test it out for yourself. Because, see, you got to know that you 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 know the real from the counterfeit. And if you were brought in the counterfeit, when the people come even talking about the real, you're going to run. That thing in you going to run away from it. It's going to get away from it. Don't let the devil do that. Don't let the devil trick you any longer. Don't let the devil rob you any longer. He's a robber and a thief. God said he is. You got to get to the point where you reject the devil, believe God, and act on the truth. Some of you, This is the truth right here, what I'm going to tell you. Some of you, he couldn't kill you. Some of you, he couldn't beat you down where you stay down. Some of you, he couldn't put so much misery on you that you began to make it and act like it was normal. You fought. You struggled. The truth is, it was God in you all the time, building you and making you to be resilient. Because you see, God got to have a resilient people today. God got to have a patient people today. God got to have a fortified people today. It might look like the church is all disjointed, but that is not true. It probably was. But like they say over there in Ezekiel 37, the bones start rattling and they start coming together. And what did God say? He said, Son of man, can these bones live? What the prophets say, Lord, you know. I think that was a really, really like calm answer. What better answer? Lord, you know. You know. And then I ain't preaching nobody else's sermon, but the Bible said the bones start shaking. And the Bible says that the bones start coming together. And what did those bones come together and form? Well, the Bible says a great army. a great army. Brothers and sisters, these bones can live. God knows. God knows. God knows what, Erica? God knows you. God knows you. God knew that a certain day, at a certain time, in a certain place, that a certain person was going to come alive. Who was that certain person? You. Because God knew that on a certain day, on a certain place, at a certain time, that a certain person was going to have their prayers answered. Who is that? You. God knew on a certain day, on a certain place, at a certain time, in a certain way, you were going to emerge full of him, full of his glory, full and in full confidence of his power, in full possession of his wisdom, in full faith to obey him. And what was going to happen? He was going to turn you around from a mediocre person to the child of the king that you were born to be. Because the Bible says, I do believe, a great army, a great army. Prophesy to the bones. Prophesy. Brothers and sisters, he said, specifically, look at this. Ezekiel 37, verse 4. Prophesy upon these bones. Woo! Prophesy upon these bones. And the same way that the Holy Spirit came up on you, old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The Bible says, and breath came into them. Breath. I told you, all you're going to have to do is breathe and receive. Breathe and receive. Hear the word of the Lord. You are, because I made you to be. You are, because I need you to be. You are, because I am that I am. And I am is alive in you. I am is instructing you. I am is guiding you. I am that I am. Breathe and receive. Breathe and receive. And for those of you, I told you, you already have a measure of faith. Remember last night? I said they call it natural faith. There's a law of faith. Well, I'm going to tell you what you got right now, and I'm going to finish because I'm going to get through this. You see, post Luke 13:19 for me and Mark 4:30-32. Luke 13:19. Mark 4 and 32. I mean, Mark 4, 30 through 32. Luke 13:19, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and it waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Mark 4:30-32, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. When it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater, greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Brothers and sisters, in these scriptures, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God becoming great, even though it had small beginnings. Jesus relates it to the mustard seed or any seed germinating into growth and bringing forth fruit for the harvest. Listen to me. It takes faith. The faith of a grain of a mustard seed grew into a large tree eventually, and the fowls of the air lodged under the shadow of it and in the branches. Brothers and sisters, no man or woman of God is immune to this. Who do you think sends in the destroyer when God is starting to do a great work in the life of a believer? Who do you think has only been interested in hindering, stopping the flow of the work of the Holy Spirit since the beginning? 2 Corinthians 11:11-14. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, here's the good news. Here's the truth. It only takes the real faith, the size of a grain of a mustard seed, to stand against all these powers of darkness. It only takes faith the size of a mustard seed to stop, destroy, and disrupt the plans of Satan. See, Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. He said that in Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, since Satan's time has grown short, he's throwing everything he can at the men and the women of God. This is why your prayer life is so important. You see, you must know not just how to do spiritual warfare. No. You got to know how to do winning spiritual warfare. You got to know how to build up a strong wall of protection in the spirit around everything that concerns you, as well as yourself, so that the fowls of the air cannot lodge in your tree of righteousness. You see, the more spirit-filled warfare-winning believers that there are, the more equipped we can be for this last great harvest of souls for the kingdom. The more prayer warriors there are in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more of God's power will be in manifestation. The more God will be exalted. The more God will be lifted up. And the more protection will be given to each body of believers. This, brothers and sisters, is in truth what bearing one another's burdens looks like. This is what loving one another as he has loved us looks like. As a spirit war fighter myself, I've learned not to take my whole armor off and to reinforce my whole armor of God continually. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The prayers I prayed yesterday were all based on the whole armor of God. I don't know if you noticed it. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. What's that next one say? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Brothers and sisters, God speaks of that mountain many times, that one over there in Matthew 17:20. That mountain is anything troubling you, any problem, any need, any circumstance, when you in truth and faith, just the same amount of faith as a mustard seed, when you speak to that mountain, when you speak to that circumstance, you're speaking the light and the life of Jesus into it. And the light and the light of Jesus contained in that word has the power to overcome any circumstance. You see, in these situations, hallelujah, the Lord reveals himself to his people. The Lord reveals his love even in the smallest details of your life. If you believe, you got to believe when you open your mouth and before you speak the first word, it's a belief in it. That type of belief contains miracle working power. Why, brothers and sisters? Because it is exercising faith. That's why Jesus said, Nothing shall be impossible to you. You see, brothers and sisters, there was a quotation from the Dakes Bible. Faith is the attribute of God and the restored faculty of man, whereby both can bring into existence things that are unseen. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. If you know and believe and trust and have confidence, not in your mind, in your heart, because that's where that measure of faith dwells, you can speak the word of God to any situation, and the situation is supposed to change. You see, when Jesus refers to that sycamine tree, that tree has a root system which grows very deep into the soil. Jesus, knowing the nature of us as human beings, he knew it was going to take him to make this revelation real to you in your heart. Think about this. If you took a tree and threw that tree in the middle of salt water, that tree in the natural would be killed in the sea if it was picked up and thrown out of its natural environment. Brothers and sisters, God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to tell you something. You got to get it. When sin is blocking your prayers, your faith cannot take hold of the life of Jesus, brothers and sisters. When sin is blocking you in any way, you're going to miss out living in the kingdom of God. That's why God blessed me so much this week, to let me know you still got some stuff in there, Erica. You still don't trust them prophets. Now, you can say what you want with your mouth, Erica, but in your heart, it's revealing to me. This is God talking to me. You don't have no love for them. It can't get beyond that. See? What was I in bondage to? Judgment. Because I never forgave them. I never forgave them. Even although with my mouth I said I did. I said I did. And you know what? In my mind, I thought I had. But it was sin. And it was that last little block. That last little puzzle piece to the puzzle. And God had me wait all this time. He allowed as much faith to be built up, but he knew. Until I dealt with that last little piece. I'm over the top now. I'm over the top. Because you know what God showed me there? He began to show me how he used the faith of people, how he uses the faith of people. But the Holy Spirit has to flow through you. It has to flow through you. And it can't have no dams. No dams blocking the flow of the water. No dams. No dams. No dams. No dams. see, whatever happens in the natural must happen in the spirit first. So what did God do? He undammed that. And now the well water is rising up and the river water is flowing. And what did Jesus tell the woman when he saw her faith? He said, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. You see, the word whole in Greek is also the word for salvation. So this gives us an example of how people who are healed receive the gift of salvation too. No dams. This shows you when real deliverance and healings come to pass, they bring a real change of heart, which is then followed by a hunger for God himself. Jesus equates faith with belief. Over there in Mark, the woman believed, therefore she received. And the Lord called this faith. Unbelief is not natural. And faith is not natural either. Faith is supernatural. Unbelief is supernatural on the negative side. That's why when you get delivered from these spirits, it says that when that unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places. God set me down in the middle, Ezekiel 37, in the middle of the valley of the dry bones. That spirit, when it goes out, he goes over there to that valley, those dry places. He's seeking rest in the dry places. He's seeking rest in the valley of indecision where the dry bones reside. Then, when he doesn't get what he's looking for, he says, I'm going to go back into my house that I came out of. And he's coming to check it out. He's coming to see if it's dry again, brothers and sisters. Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live in this dry valley? Can these bones live in this dry place with all these unclean spirits? Lord, you know. What God say? Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the breath. Breath come from all four directions. Go into these dry bones. Breathe on them. When I tell you, breathe and receive. Breathe on these that have been slain. You see, immediately after casting them demons out, immediately after they get cast out, that's when you got to loose your belief in your heart to believe God for the impossible. Oh, breath, come from the four winds. Breathe. Breathe. That's when you got to tell that devil, Stop for a minute and breathe. Stop for a minute and breathe. And then when you get your breath, prophesy to the slain. Prophesy to the dry bones, brothers and sisters. It is written, if I believe, all things are possible unto me. Brothers and sisters, this is how you stop that devil. Dry bones come alive. Breathe and receive. Understanding. It was just a trick. It was just a trick to make you lose more than you lost first time. Why? You believe the pain that came back, that was the illusion that came from the valley of the dry bones. You believed it. You believed when the devil shot you that thing through your back. You believed it. When he was sending you a feeling because he wanted to open you up to let those same spirits come back in. When he wanted to rob you of your power to believe. I want to share something with you. I got this when I was at Oral Roberts University. I never forgot it. I want you to hear this. Spiritual ignorance is the characteristic of the heartless hearer. Shallowness and impulsive emotionalism is that of the shallow hearer. Inconsistencies and mixed motives are that of the half hearers. And the whole hearer avoids the danger of all three of them. Praise God, you're going to get it later today. If you don't, listen to it again. Jessica, well, I want to send you, when I get done with all this teaching, I'll send you all the PDFs. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to repeat it as I'm signing off. Spiritual ignorance is the characteristic of the heartless hearer. Shallowness and impulsive emotionalism is the characteristic of the shallow hearer. Inconsistencies and mixed motives is the characteristic of the half hearers. And the person who hears receives, the whole hearing avoids the danger of all three of the above.
When you want, Jesus is the way. Let's do it, show my heart. 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 Let's do Yes, he is. Sometimes the way you get it this morning.
I'm so happy you got it.